If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Hello, everybody. It's your co-host, Jake B. I'm here to tell you about our merch store, feelinggoodwithduddy.com. Go there and get all the merch that you want for the show. We got the new pork snorkel pin. Link will be below in the video. Also, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/feelinggoodwithduddy, to get behind-the-scenes footage of this and every episode and all sorts of other shit. Head over there right now. Subscribe. Thank you very much. Here's the show.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling Good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Yes, and we are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I am here with my brother and my co-host, Mr. Jake B.
Hello.
Yeah, and as always, we will have a very special guest joining us. But first off, today, we just want to start off by talking about the Irvine Improv show that got canceled. I know. We are very sorry. We were very excited about it, but sometimes, you know, shit happens and it's just out of your hands and you just got to roll with the punches. Like I said, and if you're listening, you probably already know, we had in Irvine, it was supposed to be today.
Yeah.
October 7th, but it got canceled due to, you know,
there was like a double booking, dude. There was a mistake that basically they weren't going to cancel the show on us. We were just going to have to move our show till later in the night or move it the day before. Or move it to a different location. Those were our three options. And it just some of the guests couldn't make it at those other times. And we just kind of decided that we didn't want to do the show. We had a show envisioned in our head, and we didn't want to do a lesser or even different version of that this closely to the live show. It was our first big live show. We wanted it to be great. So we decided just to cancel it, and we're going to rebook it at another date.
We're all still good with the improv. We're in talks with them now, trying to reschedule it. So for those of you that already bought your tickets, I know you already got refunded. So, and we will be redoing it hopefully sometime soon. So that is that.
Shit happens, man.
It happens.
Honest mistake, you know.
Sometimes you just got to go with it and say, shit, that sucks. And other than that, I just got back from Vegas this last weekend. We had a show with the Dirty Heads there at the Mandalay Bay. Thanks to everyone who came out. It was a good time. As always, Vegas is always a good time. So thank you guys so much for that. And let's get into the show.
Let's fucking do it.
Let's do it. All right. Today on the show, we have a very special guest. He's a stand-up comedian. He's a ghostwriter for some of, top comedian names. One of my favorite comedians of all time. And, he's also runs his own foundation, helping foster kids through comedy. And he's just a great guy and a really funny guy. And we're stoked to have him here. Eric Blake.
Yay!
Come on up to the mic, dude.
What it do, fam? How y'all doing, brother?
Doing good, man. Thank you so much for coming down. I know you're a busy guy, so we appreciate you taking some time.
No, man. Thanks for having me. Very, very happy to be here. And I was supposed to be on that show today, man.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it affected us all.
It did. It's part of business, man. Like you say, roll with the punches, man. Roll with the punches and don't even worry about it. You know, the next thing.
It happens to everyone. It happens to the best of us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can be super organized, super ready to go. Everything's falling into place and just something fucking comes up and you just got to, you could dwell on it.
Right.
You could sit there and be pissed off about it. You can say, man, shit happens. Let's try and work to make the next time we have this opportunity, make sure it works.
That's all you can do. Sometimes you study all night for the test or all week for a test, and you still get a shitty grade. You're just like, I don't know what it just happens sometimes.
Oh, man.
So how was your Vegas show, man?
Vegas show was great. As always, people are out to Vegas to have a good time.
Right. Did you play on the pool?
We played out at the Mandalay Bay. They have that beach, stage set up that goes right over the pool. And
I mean, you know, you're playing at night, and you're looking up at all the you know, bright lights of the casinos, and it's pretty right. cool. The vibe's great. The people right. are there to party, and they are, yes, you know, yes. they're partying.
Man, that's the thing about Vegas, dog. I don't even really go for anything and the gambling, anything like that. I go for the entertainment and the food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
definitely, man. You want to eat some good food, you could eat it out yeah. in Vegas, for
man.
Sure.
And they make sure, like, everything is just, like, premium. And just everything's just, like, right on yeah. point. Like, my favorite place to go is called the Pizza Rock. You ever been to Pizza Rock ever?
I have not.
Oh, man, it's awesome, bro. It's awesome. Whatever you do, don't get high and go to the Pizza Rock. Because you're messing around, eat your goddamn.
Oh, man. Is that in one of the hotels, or is that?
That's in old school Vegas, man.
Okay, okay. Vegas. I like old school.
Yeah, the old school downtown. You know the difference, right? Oh, yeah. Two part of Vegas. Like, when you're in Vegas, uptown is really nice, and everybody's good, and looking, mm-hmm. you see families and couples. You get to go into old town Vegas, you're like, wait a minute, shit looking a little strange.
It's a little different. It's fun, though, man. I like it there. That's where you can go find, like, dollar crap tables right. and shit.
That's where you get Pizza Rock.
Right. Yeah, definitely get Pizza Rock. Hey, that, old town Vegas, where you put your wallet in your front pocket. Be like, yeah. wait a minute. Hold on, let me put this in my pocket.
Fuck, I haven't been. Do they still have all the lights that straight
yeah.
over the
yes, yeah, man. Oh, man. It looked like an old Vegas mob feel, yep, too. It's totally. Like, wait a minute, somebody's going to get whacked in a minute. Let me just cool. sit around and watch.
That's why you go. You get the feeling. You're like, all right, dude, this is real.
If you're someone who's been to Vegas a few times and you fucking love it, but you haven't been down to the old school Vegas, next time you go, make sure you, yes. you at least go down and check it out, because it is a good time.
It's a great vibe. It's more of where the locals go, I'm totally. Told, in, yeah. instead of just tourists, you yeah. know?
There is a hipster vibe going on there. Definitely. It's kind of coming back. In definitely. This, yeah. yeah, it's happening down there.
It's get to that point of, like, old school Vegas, like, if you can just watch somebody have sex in the middle of the crowd, you just probably watch for 3 minutes, like, oh, okay, and keep yeah. it going. It
wouldn't even be a big deal.
It wouldn't even be a big deal. Okay. Oh, that's what they're doing? All right, cool.
They wouldn't missionary? Be good-looking people, right. probably, but they would be having sex.
Somebody
throw
get their
dollar at them.
Right. Throw $1 at them. Like, keep it going, buddy. Keep yeah, it going.
Yeah. Good work, man.
That'll cost you $5 in nice Vegas.
Definitely.
So one thing I thought was really cool and I want to talk about, because I think most of our listeners, or just most people mm-hmm. in general, probably don't know what a ghostwriter is. If you say that, you're like, ooh, that sounds scary. What is that? Does he write ghosts or, you know, yeah. stories? Is he, you know, does he go out and hunt ghosts and write books about it? right. No, it's someone, you know, who helps another comedian, you know, come up with jokes, or for instance, you know, helping right. people come up with even jokes for sitcoms and stuff. It's a ghostwriter. He's in the background helping out, making sure that this guy's got plenty of funny stuff.
Right.
And in the music business, it happens too. There's ghostwriters for, you know, probably some of your favorite right. rappers you don't know right. about. They got someone there helping them come up with raps. I mean, right. I've been on both sides of it, where I've had people help me write songs. Right. And I've also helped other people write songs, or I've helped other people write lyrics. And one thing I wanted to ask right, you about, because right. I know it happens in music, where I've been, like, you know, sitting in a room and my soul's purpose to be there that day is to really help this guy with some lyrics.
Right, right.
And I'm helping him write lyrics, right. and all of a sudden some lyrics come to my mind that's for this song I'm writing. I'm like, damn, wow. these are fire.
I don't want
to
get it.
Fuck, dude. Do I give these
yes.
to
you? That happened to me,
and then
bro.
You do, oh, you perfect. Give it, and then you're always like, fuck, those were so good.
Bro, oh, that happens, bro. Because you know what? Because you never know where your inspiration comes from.
Totally.
You know, for me, creativity is an open, it's a revolving door, mm-hmm. and when it opens up, you grab what you can,
yep.
and then you try to savor it and build off of whatever you got from that creative 100%. Door. So when you're in a room with somebody that's really good and they have you there, comedy is a bit different, because they're there and you're there, then they're working on a specific piece for their mm-hmm. routine. So your job is to send them in one direction or another direction, or add to it. And their job is to say, okay, yeah, I take that, or I don't do that. So even when we're in a room together with each other, they say, hey, I got a tag. That's a tagline for, hey, let me add that to your bit. I came up with something that
like
you
someone
might
someone has a joke. Okay, cool. We got an extra hit.
Hey,
on
yeah, boom. Yeah, yeah, there's boom. Another yep. beat there. Yep. And you go, oh, yeah, boom, I like that. Yeah. You know. And then yep. there's the comics that know you and know what you do, and then they invite you out. Cool. Hey, come on down, bro. I got this piece I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. I need your help.
What you think? Yeah, come check it out. See which way you can go. So we all know awesome. Each other's like
that's
that.
So that's similar to music, really. Like, yeah. That's great. It's yeah. so similar. Like, you know, I know certain people for certain things. Like, if we're working on one type of song, I would call so-and-so or
right,
vice versa.
Right,
you know?
Right. That kind of cool. fit his yep. his genre mm-hmm. of music or comedy, so to speak.
Totally.
So, yeah, I mean, that happened to me once. Like, I was working with Kevin, and I had this bit. I knew I was coming there to help bump up some stuff.
Yeah.
But I had a bit. So in comedy, like, I'll go out and do 15, 20 minutes warm up the crowd, and then, you know, Kevin usually will come out and just do his thing. That's when...
And that's Kevin Hart, right?
That's Kevin Hart. Nice. Yeah, when we're like, if he's like Ontario and I'm that comic in that region. So yeah. He'll use a lot of comics, and it's not really used like he need our help or anything like that. It's just, he just gives us breaks.
Yeah.
Or he knows cats that that lives in that region, or we know people that works with him. We, hey, look, can I come and do the show? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know such and such. Yeah, he's cool. Let him open up.
Nice.
And then he'll sit and watch your body of work, and then you watch his body of work, and you bump up, bam, 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 like that. That's how it goes. So I had this one bit that I was doing and I was working on at the time. It has nothing to do with Kevin, but I know if I give it to him, it would be perfect for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am not doing this bit in front of this motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, and the bit is called Being Raised Twice. Right? And it's like when you've been married a long time, you start to feel like you've been raised twice. So with him being short, I was like, this motherfucker would take this bit and work with it. So I was like, I'm not doing that.
Keeping that one in my pocket.
I'm not doing that.
You don't want him to ask about it?
Like, Hell no. Because if I know it's perfect for him.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's like, you know, if you've been married and you're in a situation, if you've ever been married before, I know Kevin, I know his ex-wife, and I don't really know too much about his new wife, but I know Tori Hart is a good friend too. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of their personal business. Yeah. So if I got a bit and I know it's funny and I can tell, like, if he did this bit, it for mm-hmm. fucking, he would love
it
this
would
bit.
Just
like,
kill.
Motherfucker, I'm gonna take that. I can do X, Y, Z. Because some people have that vision where it could be this small to mm-hmm. you and that big to them.
Yeah.
So, me, it works perfectly for me because I'm trying to put this into my routine. It fits perfect in my routine. So, I wouldn't give that to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you don't even want to have to say no.
I you're like, know. Just put like, it away. Yeah, you just mm-mm. like, nope. And then your train of thought is usually, you know what I mean? Like, it'll usually pop out, you know? And you're on stage, and I have to police myself when I'm in front of certain people, and I don't really want this bit is not ready yet to be, like, out there, like, because I want it to be on my hour.
Yep.
Instead of just...
We love... Him. This is awesome, because we've had a couple comedians on before, and we've talked about all sorts of... you know, mm-hmm. touring and normal stuff and a little behind the scenes stuff. But Duddy and I love shining lights on the parts of anything that we're talking about that most people don't think about.
Right.
And so many people probably don't know about that.
Right.
Ghostwriting, like adding tags to other people's jokes. And then I had no idea that you would have to think, oh, this bit isn't quite ready, but I'm massaging it for myself and I need to keep this bit so I can't even do this on this night because my friend might want it and I don't want to have to say no.
I want
to,
right.
You probably say yes just to be quiet. Well,
right,
let
bro.
Let me open for you. Fuck, okay.
Yes. You know you gave away a good one. You're like, oh my.
And he's short, like you said, so he would make it about shortness as well and make it 5 minutes.
Right, yeah. Right. Like, you know what I mean? You give him a bit like that. It's
I
like.
I can already hear it.
It's like somebody took your kid. You know, you get. And they raised your kid in front of you like, that was my baby.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's crazy. I love that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's deep. People don't really understand how deep comedy is in the writing part. Those of who are good comedians and understand the work that goes into what we do, you know, they can see where I'm coming from. Yeah. But you got, like, the generation of comics that are out there now, not to knock most of them, a lot of them don't really know the history. A lot of them don't really sit down and write. So when I hear their comedy, I could listen to the comic that they've been studying and I could see it in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But your job is to write a joke that fits your point of view. It's okay to study old comics.
Totally.
But when you are so embedded in the one you're studying and you start to sound like them, then you're losing you. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
100%.
So, yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. Like,
I've seen that before, what you're saying, where I see a young kid and I'm like, oh, this guy reminds me of, I've seen a couple kids that, like, remind me of Mitch Hedberg.
I was going to say that, bro. Right off the tip of my tongue, bro.
I know what this guy's doing, and he's funny. These jokes are great.
Right. Yeah, you can see it. You can see Mitch, man. Like, most of the, not knocking Seattle comics, don't get the inboxing me, talking about I'm talking about you guys. Because them Seattle comics, I don't know if you've ever been to Seattle. They serious business about stand-up. And I love Seattle, and I love going up there. But a lot of them sound like Mitch Hedberg.
Okay.
You know, they got the style, some go up with the glasses and try to be all cool and calm and collective. But, you know, that's what made Mitch unique is that he was himself and there was no one like him.
Oh, he was so good.
Yeah, very funny.
That's crazy.
My favorite was the sesame seed bun.
Oh,
You ever see the sesame? What is the sesame?
Is this green?
Yeah, yeah.
I think my favorite of his was always like,
Don't go see Dr. Acula. You remember that one? Like, I went to the doctor and he started sucking blood out of my neck. Don't go see Dr. Acula.
The best.
The best, bro. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful business once we police ourselves. Like, I got into it with a comic recently, and she actually went on stage. And this was a comic that I performed at her show a couple of times, you know, and I've been on her show a few times, and mm-hmm. she, you know, pretty much a okay comedian at the time, I thought. And recently I was on a show with her, and she did one of my bits in front of me. And knowing goddamn well, this is my bit. Like, this is one of my signature pieces. Yeah. I've been working on this bit for about 6-7 years.
Doing it on stage.
And I created it maybe about 2 years before that. So I'm about 10 years into the bit. And the bit is like perfectly flawless right now.
Yeah.
I have callbacks. I don't know if you know what a callback is.
Yeah.
I have callbacks within the bit. You know, I could do the bit without missing a beat.
So obviously right? It's a bit that comes later in the set and you're calling back to early jokes.
Boom, right?
Fuck.
And she gets up, she's kind of, you know, some comics are just change the name or change another dude or just trying to, you know,
yeah,
something that
change the joke,
change
the
barely,
just to say, just no, barely.
Well, you say this and I say that, like, motherfucker, it's the same thing,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's like somebody stealing your car and then driving by you and you at the bus stop and they pass by you in it. You You gonna put rims on my joke?
What?
Like Debo from Fridays. Like, right. The joke is kind of like it's both of ours.
Yes, that's exactly.
No,
it's both of ours.
No, yeah. No.
It's both of ours.
Yeah, you can borrow it too.
My joke.
That's crazy. So, and you're coming on. You're going to go on after.
I'm going
her?
Going after her.
Probably gonna use can't play this it. Bit potentially. Yeah,
you know
as
what
your
I?
Closer?
So I do what all veteran comics do. Mm-hmm. I did my routine, got them to a certain point, knowing that let them know I was funny. Mm-hmm. I called her on it in a sense to where the audience know, because you got to let them know that, hey, I'm about to do something similar, this is my bit.
Yeah.
It's like, let me show her how this bit is done.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Yeah.
Right? And then I did it and smashed.
Just smashed it.
And then got the standing O. It was like a big clap stand up. And I'm not lying. I got a cool little standing O.
Yeah.
Because my energy was focused. My focus was to let her know, hey, this is my bit, and I'm going to let you know how it's done. Yep. 2, you know you stole it from me. 3, you've been doing comedy maybe 5, 6, 7 years, maybe tops.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for 20.
Yep.
Here's how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the audience feel that energy. Man, it was
That's
a beautiful thing.
That's a bold move, too, because it could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
Like, the audience could be what, boo? But
well,
no,
we just heard this.
It's called, in comedy, it's called crossing lines.
Yeah.
Crossing
yeah.
lines. Crossing lines mean when you do a bit and you don't want to cross the other comic's line and put that weird effect in it. So what you do is you introduce the bit or you give the comic, let's say you're on a stage with a comic that has a bit similar to yours and you don't, you know it's similar, but you don't want to cross lines. So if a guy up there is talking about marriage, for instance, and he's got this totally different take on what he's bitter about marriage and you're happy about being married, mm-hmm. right, so to speak. You don't want to cross lines and not just come out and say, hey, I'm married, blah 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 blah. You shoot the elephant in the room, so to speak. You go, you know, the last comic was talking about marriage, or by the way, I'm married too. Oh,
yeah,
he's talking about. So you're letting them know that take away that weird effect.
Yeah, like
it could
I
look like you're being a dick to that guy.
Right,
I don't know what's up with his marriage.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh shit, that's
so
another thing.
So you, that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So and you do, and then that's what you're supposed to do. You give the audience, hey, brace yourself. I don't want to think I'm taking this dude's shit, but there's a reason why I'm the headliner, because I feel that my topic on this subject can trump his. So if you ever played spades or anything like that, I figure out that I can top him.
Yeah.
So here it is.
Yeah,
it
you're
is.
Not going to go out and do a lesser
right.
bit. That's all
yeah.
you're
nah,
like,
you would.
You got to put that one away.
You got to put that away. Like, okay, his was funny, but I think I got him. And mine's longer, and mine's this, and mine that. And you would know as a headliner, you would know.
You would know.
You're like,
know.
Okay. Oh that shit was too funny. I'm going to go to something else.
Yeah.
It's cool. It relieves the audience from thinking, does he know that the last guy did something? You're like, yeah, I know he did.
Yeah.
Here's mine.
Or are they?
And they can go, okay.
Yeah, wait.
That allows them to just settle down and go, all right, well, it's your
Oh, don't let us be his family members in there. He's taking his stuff.
Oh my God. They start filming here.
Hey, that's not yours.
Oh, a mother get up and be like, you can't do that. Like, sit down, lady. I got this.
Yeah, it's all good. Thank you, thank you. Your heart's in the right place.
Right.
Wow. Well, shit, I think that's kind of good to like go into like the subject of the day, the word of the day, which is brush it off. It's like, look, he could have listened to that comedian go before him and do his bit, and he could have just gotten all pissed off, let it get in his head, then go up on stage being all pissed off, and that's in his head, probably had like a weird set, maybe not done his bit because he was pissed, didn't do his best part of it, but no, he just was like, dude, let me show you how this is done.
I'm going to brush it off. Home. This guy's doing my bit. I'm out of here.
So sometimes in life, you just got to brush it off. And that just goes with on the subject of what we talked about earlier. We had to cancel our show that we were so stoked on. But we didn't sit there and just get pissed off and yell at the improv and get all mad at them. It wasn't their fault. It was a simple mistake. You know, it happens to everyone. And we brushed it off and just took, like Jake said, we took an L on that one.
Took an L, whatever, dude.
It's called business. Is to be professional.
Totally.
Part of the business is, because I've seen people be completely unprofessional, man. And I try to remain as professional as I possibly can.
Totally.
Like, there's some incidents where, man, shit got like, dude, if you come on this stage, bro.
Oh, like heckler?
Man, I got heckled by like a, I don't know if he was a white supremacist or whatever.
Oh, my God.
But he went in. I'm talking about what the whole room was like, and it was in Bellingham. I'm keep going on Seattle, but Bellingham, Washington.
Okay.
And this motherfucker was going in. I'm in there ripping, right? And he's just going in, yelling out racial shit.
Oh.
And I'm killing him. Murdering him.
Yeah.
And he walked to the front of that goddamn stage.
Oh.
I said, man.
Yeah.
You come on this.
It's so weird how security just comedians are vulnerable, and nobody ever tackles these people.
If
like at comedy shows.
You've been to a stand-up act. You know the stages are normally not that tall.
Right,
it's like a low stage.
Right,
the people sitting down at the table in front are waist high to the table a lot of the time. You know,
it was like I was like, dude, you come on the stage.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
I'm going to bite you. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah.
And once someone comes up from the crowd onto the stage, you're probably allowed to hit them at that point.
I don't know. I mean, you've been seeing these rappers getting arrested.
Scary,
it's kind of weird, man. It's because you put you in a weird place and you're not really expecting that.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like me personally, what I don't do with an audience member, I police myself, like I said. And one of the things that I do is, one, I'll see how far I could go with them and have fun and try to have fun. Two, I try to make the person that's heckling me laugh.
Totally.
Because I'm not worried about everybody else.
Yeah,
right, because I want him to laugh.
You want them to know, like, hey, if you keep going, I'm going to make fun of you.
If he's laughing, he can't be talking.
Yeah.
But if he's getting pissed to the point to where everybody around him is laughing, you have this moment of clarity where you say, okay, he's taking this too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go
back
to the
off.
Next person. Let me not make this a thing and either ignore him or have somebody remove him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and I give the signal. Get
like,
this
help me.
Also, there is a little
hey,
help me out here.
You know what I'm saying?
Please. Okay,
good. I feel like that's on the venue at that point. If they let a guy get up who's obviously probably heated and who's been already yelling out, now get up and walk all the way to the front of the stage.
Right.
It's like that's on the venue. That's like, come on, man.
Help
me out here.
I've seen comedians get their ass.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You've seen guys get beat up.
Man, we knew a dude, man, a good friend of mine. I don't want to blast him out there, but fuck it. His name is Mad Marv. We call him Mad Marv. He's from South Central. And this dude would get his ass whooped after every show. It was almost like he planned it.
Oh.
Just controversial as hell or what?
Man, there's a beautiful line in comedy. And this line is, I love this line. And this line says, the only comedians that know how far to go are the ones that went too far.
Yep.
And that is Mad Marv.
He always trying to find the line every night on stage.
And I tell you, this dude would see the line and cross over with both feet.
You know what he did? He gets his ass kicked and he brushes it off.
Back
up there.
And be back up the next week with a black eye. You ain't gonna believe what happened.
Let me try this again.
Yeah.
He's on building an hour of material every time I get my ass kicked.
Oh, man. He told
Was he funny?
I give you one of the jokes.
Okay.
we were tape a show called Comic View, right? And the show is called Comic View. Hilarious, right? I'm talking like 300 people in the audience, television cameras everywhere, and Mad Marv goes up, and he's doing a bit about Muslims, right?
Oh, no.
And it's a bunch of, you know, guys know who Farrakhan is, right?
Yeah.
So Farrakhan, he got some guys, they're in the audience, they're sitting there trying to enjoy the show, laughing. They got their little Muslim suits
the
on. These some big buff black guys, right? Ooh. So Matt Marvin's going on about Muslims, whoop, 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 right? And then one of the dudes stood up and said, hey, brother, I don't appreciate you talking about Honorable Farrakhan, blah, 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 blah. And Matt Marvin turned and said, I don't give a damn. I eat a pork chop sandwich in his face and spit the bone in his lap, motherfucker.
Woo! Right? Woo!
After the show,
those
guys walked up to him and said, let me talk to you for a second, brother.
Oh, no.
And gave him a rabbit punch to the kidneys. Poof!
Oh.
And walked off.
He didn't breathe for 3 minutes.
He was,
Oh, yes. My God.
Matt.
Dude. That's so funny. Yes. I love that he's just known for getting his ass kicked.
Ass kicked, bro.
Yeah. Oh, it was fucking hilarious.
It's just like, he's just one of those, he got one time it happened in a little club we were in, and he was on stage, and he was the MC, right? And it was two guys, a father and son. You could tell they're probably in the military or something, right? In a little ghetto club in South Central. And Matt Marv is, so he asked the guy, what are you drinking? And one of the brothers said, I'm just drinking, you know, Chardonnay or something like that, a wine or something. He said, well, that's a bitch drink. Oh, listen, he's got a bitch drink. So all night long,
Marvin wouldn't
let it go.
And he's the host, so he's coming up with material.
He's doing jokes every 10 minutes. You all right, bitch drink?
Right. There's another bitch drink up there. What is it? Chardonnay? Chardonnay.
Bitch drink. The whole night, right? We go outside the club, bro.
This guy and
his son is walking to the car, not even thinking about Marv. We're sitting around the in the parking lot talking about, you know, what we normally do after the show. We're going over things. And they're on their way to the car, and Marv is drunk. Marv goes, all right, bitch, drink. See y'all later. One of those guys, the son said, what'd you say, Marv? And he said, it was coming to his dad. Said, I got it, son. Don't even worry about this.
Oh, no.
Bang.
Bop.
Because it's okay on stage, at least it's part of the show. But
right
in the parking lot. Now, bitch drinking, you're just a guy calling
yes.
a bitch.
Yes. They were trying to be good guys about it. You know, they kept telling me in the middle, hey, man, go on with your show, man.
Yeah,
go on with your show, man. Not Matt Marv. All right, bitch drink. See y'all later.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Dude, that is so fucking good.
Man. Oh, that's a good nickname for someone, too. Oh, my friend Bitch Drink.
Right.
Friend
Hey, if you Google, I don't think they got it on camera. If you Google Matt Marv, you'll see who he is.
I got to see what he looks like now.
I know. Can you guys Google Matt Marv and put
Comedian
him
Comedian Matt Marv. You'll see him.
Please.
Oh, he's so funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my dude. He's a good friend. Good friend.
His new CD, Bitch Drink. Bitch
Drink! Yeah, that's my boy, man.
Oh, that's fucking
funny,
dope.
Funny guy, man. Funny, funny guy.
That's
man.
Well, Duddy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Guess what bitch drinks do to you, buddy?
They make you feel good?
There you go, dude. I helped you with the segue.
No, I was still going to segue
it. Too late
now.
No. What was your cool segue? No, Trump me. Just like he said, you got a joke that I just
stole
from you.
Mad Marv.
You got a better segue than that? Then go ahead and Trump mine right now.
I was going to say, man, you get your ass kicked 10 times, and you brush it off, and then 11th time, you get up there on stage, and you just have a great set, and everyone fucking stands up, and you don't get your ass kicked? That's gonna feel good.
Look, that's Matt Marv.
All right, that was better than Marv.
Okay,
that's Matt Marv.
Oh, okay. All right, we're gonna check him out, and then we're gonna go to sponsors.
Oh, yeah, he looks like someone who gets punched.
He like even beat him a few times. He got a black eye. Look,
he's got a black eye. They put Marvin the Martian next to him. Look, because they got the same hair.
Yeah,
it's fucking awesome.
Look, he got a black eye too. Look.
Oh, that's right after he bitch drinks that dude. That's fucking awesome.
Everybody, I love you, Matt. I love you, Marv.
Everybody go follow him right now online.
All
give
right.
him some love.
Bitch drink.
Because Matt Marv got a black eye right now, I'm going to talk about Koi CBD.
Wow, another good one.
Because Koi CBD, it can really help out. You get punched in your face and you wake up and you got some aches and pains and you're just, you know, starting off with a rough day. You take some Koi CBD drops, which I take every morning. I love these things. I take them with my coffee. I don't put them in my fucking coffee. I put them in my mouth and then afterwards I drink my coffee. Chill out.
He's not a monster.
I'm not a fucking monster, okay?
Jesus.
Someone would be like, did you know that caffeine kills all of the good stuff in there? And I don't even know.
Actually, Daddy.
Regardless, Koi CBD, it's a great product.
Not only do I take these drops every morning, and not only are they good if you got any sorts of aches and pains, I have now been using their new CBD for my dog. Wow. They have dog CBD. It's great. They have treats, dog treats with CBD in it. They actually just have like a little mist spray that I spray in her mouth. I had a dog, you know, pass away a couple months back, and you know, her last few months of her life, she had a rough time walking. So when I'd give her these CBD, I could tell it really helped her move around. So I've already started my dog on it now. I started it early. I'm not messing around. So check it out, KoiCBD.com. Go there and put in code DuddyB at Daddy. Checkout, and you're gonna get 20% off. Boom.
Man.
Yeah.
So you guys love smoking, man, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We love smoking.
I have not had a blunt in 20 years.
We offered him before the show, do you smoke? He's like, nah, man.
Nah.
Man, no more.
I got tired of getting high telling on myself.
Yeah. Just get high. I'm sorry.
You know I'm cheating on you, right?
Oh no.
I'm glad you're here. Can I just say that?
Is this honesty, OG? What is this? Sorry.
That leads us into the next one.
Yeah, so speaking of smoking, if you're out there and you're smoking and you're on the go, like we are,
right.
You got to get your sticky vapes. Sticky vapes are a great vape pen. We do our own with the Dirty Heads. And I got exciting news. We actually made 3 new strains for our new album we just put out with Sticky Vape. We made the Sativa, which is the Lift Me Up.
Mm.
Uh-huh. We made the Hybrid, which is the Cloud Lifter. Mm-hmm. And we made the Indica, which is the Super Moon. And you can get those now in your favorite local dispensary. Sticky Vape. Jake, where do you use your Sticky Vape?
Here's what I've been doing. I've been taking a hit of the sticky vape, holding it in, taking a bitch drink, blowing it out. And that's a callback, baby. What's up,
baby?
Oh, we got something else on the shelf. For those who are just listening, this is a little plug for our merch store, but we do have the new pork snorkel pen at the feelinggoodwithduddy.com merch store. Mm. It's hilarious. If you're looking online, you know, if you're watching us on YouTube, there it is. I'm wearing it on my shirt.
And if you're wondering what the pork snorkel is, go back and listen to episode 1.
Pork snorkel.
There's cheese right there. So cheese was talking about
snorkel.
He was talking. I think he was talking about walking around jerking off on his front lawn.
No,
he said
that was
the pork snorkel.
No, he said that was feeding the
that
geese.
That was feed the geese. Yeah, that's right here.
Feed the geese.
Yeah, that's right.
Pork snorkel. He said, you know, my friend was upstairs feeding her the pork snorkel.
That's right, yeah, dude. So it's a dick. Yeah, you got it, dude. Feeding her the
pork snorkel.
It sounded a lot like that.
So, yeah, we got that. Go check out the merch store. We got some cool stuff up there. But also, last but not least, Jake, I'm going to let you do this because they sent you something.
Yeah, dude,
and there's
it.
A reason why. So, Jake, do this one.
So you guys all know about the melatonin spray. Duddy's just
I love the
mainlining
melatonin
it on tour. Gets you to sleep. It's the best. But the Alpha Brain. Duddy and I, we love Alpha Brain. It keeps us sharp. We both use it. We've used some before the show. It helps us recall memories. It helps us be sharp and fast, which you wouldn't think when I started the show. I fucked up 5 times
on the
opening.
Well, we also smoked 2 blunts right before.
Yeah, we kind of canceled out the out. I took Alpha Brain and then I smoked 2 blunts, dude. And then I tried to do a commercial and fucked up 100 times. But then the Alpha Brain kicked in, and now we're sailing tight.
Gone.
So what's going on is if you get the 90 or I think even the 60 capsule, thing of a container of Alpha Brain, there's a golden ticket inside. The golden ticket, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory style. Mm. It's going to give you anything from, you know, a percentage off their products all the way up to you could win a trip to their headquarters and you win a year's supply of Alpha Brain as well as a year's supply of Total Human. Since Onnit has sent me the Total Human and the Alpha Brain, I've been taking it every day. I feel great. I have energy. I've been working out. I've been running. I've been doing everything. I feel great. My surfing, I've been surfing longer. It works and it's all natural. Go to Onnit.com. What's the to save 10%?
You go to Onnit.com and that's with 2 N's. ONNIT.com/Duddy and you're going to get 10% off your order.
That's right. 10% off. Use it. They got stuff for everything. Mm. Recovery, pre-workout, you know, the stuff to help you sleep. They've got the Alpha Brain for just focus. All that stuff. Go check it out, onnit.com. Yeah, get on
Boom.
Bam.
And that's that.
Wow.
Yeah, and those are things that make us feel good.
You got it.
You know what also makes you feel good? Helping other people out.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about your foundation?
Comedy Do Transitions, man. It's one of the best things I ever did. Years ago, I started this maybe about 6-7 years ago. I was teaching foster kids that were coming of age, 18 to 25, stand-up comedy. And I created a thing called the Comedy Transition Timeline. And what that is, I take stuff from their lives, the high points and the low points from their lives, and I turn it into comedy, which is the most beautiful thing you can ever do. And then they perform that at 5-10 minute set on the stage.
That's amazing.
Get out of here.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. Awesome idea.
Yeah, a beautiful, beautiful idea.
Is there somewhere people can go check that out? Or,
yeah, if you just Google Comedy Through Transitions, it'll come up. Yeah, there
Comedy
it is right
Through
there.
Transitions.
Yeah, did it come up? You got it? Go back. I saw it.
Yeah.
Go back to the
Definitely
screen.
See your name right there.
Right there.
There it is.
We're, for the listeners, we're pulling it up on our YouTube page right here. But we'll have the links below, and, you know,
yeah, you have some with some of the kids was doing a comedy. I have one of my students. Her name was Michelle Rogers. I thought she was pretty funny. She was one of the kids that was in my class that she would sit back in the back of the room and kind of like, wait a minute, I don't know what this stuff
is. What is this?
What is this? And, you know, kind of curious. And when I got into her transition timeline, I was like, ooh, man, because, you know, they write out a lot of stuff about their lives and things that they were going through. And it's my job to kind of see what's comedy and what's not that I can make into comedy. In a, you know, it's an 11-week course, and it's not really a lot of time, but, you know, something that I can make really fast. So I had a couple of them, and I had another girl, I can't think of her name right now, but she's in my class, and she had a very, very funny routine. She was half black and half white, and I saw on the transition, because I have mixed kids, and I'm looking at the transition, and it says, she said on her, one of her high points of her lives is, she doesn't know how to act around her white friends and her black friends, right? And I was like, wow, that's something that my kids struggle with, right? Now, so I asked her, I said, well, what is the problem? She said, well, sometimes I just don't know how to, you know, be me when I'm around. I mean, I'm being me, but I feel that I'm finding myself to adjust.
To whoever I'm hanging out with.
So we wrote the bit, and the bit goes a little something like this. She goes, you know, I'm half black and I'm half white. She looks more white than black. And she goes, when I'm hanging out with my white friends, I'm like, hey guys, what's up? Yeah. So I'm hanging out with my black friends. I'm like, what's up? She said, I get pulled over by a cop. And it depends on what type of cop it is. You know, if it's a white cop, I go, hey, officer, how you doing? She said, if it's a black cop, I'm like, what's up? She said, if it's a mixed cop, I wait till he speaks.
Jim, that's a funny angle. Everybody does black versus white or Hispanic, white, whatever comedy, but but no one's half in the middle is funky.
It's beautiful.
And you can completely see that it's true. So you're like, okay, I believe these jokes.
Yes. And that was just, that's just a little bit of what some of them went through. Like Michelle, I was talking about Michelle. And if I remember Michelle correctly, she was going through some stuff where she was, she went from going straight to foster care into a black family. She's a little white girl from Gary, Indiana. Never been around black people in her life. The cops came, raided the house, took her, and placed her in foster care and with some Jamaican black people.
Wow.
That's her just a big and her change. Sister. That is like unreal.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to tackle that. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So we wrote that, and her bit was hilarious. She did, her opening bit was, my mom, she said, I think it's on there. She said, my mom got arrested for doing heroin. And the night the cops came, I remember like it was yesterday, they knocked on the door, you know. She said, I opened the door. She said, my mother opened the door, and my mother was so high, she told the police officers, hi, officers. Come on in, have some drugs while I hide my milk and cookies. So then she goes right. So then she goes into, you know, and then, you know, they placed me in foster care, and I'm with this black family for the first time. I never knew anything about black people. I'm there, and me and my brothers and sisters, and I remember dinner the first night. I come out, and I recognize some of the food. I think it was chicken, and it was this, and it was that, and it was type of some green stuff on my plate, which was collard greens. Mm-hmm. She said, I was thinking, why did they mow the lawn and put grass on my plate? So you can see.
Yep.
Then she went from that to a Latino family on down, and then she did the whole bit, and it was funny. I can't do it quite like how she does it, but it was hilarious. And so years later, she called me up, and this is the beauty of what you do and why you do it. She called me up years later, and she goes, I just want to thank you. And I was like, for what? She's like, man, you know, I know what you taught me was a beautiful thing. She said, one day my grandfather came. Now she's older. She's not in foster care anymore. She's out doing her thing. And her grandfather came to visit her here in California. And she goes, and we happened to go to this restaurant where they had open mic stand-up. She said, and I wasn't doing stand-up. She said, I just want to know if my bit still works. Because, you know, she would do it in front of the class, and then she did it from a regular audience, but she hadn't did it since. She said, I'm going to do it in front of my grandfather, which is her mother's father, who's a strict kind of dude, whatever, whatnot. So she did the bit, talked about her mother and being on drugs and all of that stuff. She said, I killed. She said, I was waiting to see what my grandfather's reaction was. And his reaction was, that stuff you said about my daughter, pretty fucking funny.
Nice.
Why does she keep doing it?
I don't know why. I wanted her to. I don't know why she didn't.
But it's like you can't make someone do that. It's such a thing to do stand up.
Right.
I've never done it, but I can imagine.
It's like climbing Mount Everest with no shoes on.
We talk about it all the time. Like, I can get up on stage and play some music, but I got, my five buddies with me.
Right.
And we've been rehearsing the shit out of it, and we're playing to people who are our fans of our song. So you know when you go into the song, they're gonna be like, woo, like it's not that stressful.
We were so nervous about the improv show. We were so nervous, and fucking nervous.
Like,
just because you're trying to be funny in front of a room of people, man. It's easy to do at a party. There's no
stress.
Right. Yeah.
Well, stand-up is a little bit more just like creating a song. Yep. You know what I mean? You practice it. You listen to it. You understand the timing on it. You trim the fat.
Mm-hmm.
It, what goes, totally. What not. And then you get up there. But the beautiful thing, you live every night, you do it.
Yep.
And hoping that the people will get it. And when they do get it, it's confirmation that, hey, it works. Let me keep going. Let me expand on this. It's the same thing.
Totally. Yeah.
There's nights when you're driving home, probably just going, "What the fuck?"
Yes. Oh man.
Oh, nobody laughed. My parents signed me up for this was years ago. They signed me up for the Groundlings. They just thought, hey, it was like one of my birthdays. Mom and dad. My parents signed me up for the Groundlings, which, for listeners, if you don't know, it's like an improv in class in L.A., and like a lot of funny people have come from there. So I have no experience, never been in a play, never done anything. They sent me to Groundlings, and it was great. I did the whole first class. I graduated, whatever. I had some funny moments, but I remember I had one moment where I just wasn't fucking funny at all. We had to act out this scene, and I just couldn't get it right, and I bombed. And every time I said anything, it was silence.
Wow.
I remember driving home back to Orange County after that night, just being like, dude. And I'm sure no one else even gave a shit.
Right.
They just went on with their life. But me, I said those terrible shit jokes that bombed the fuck out. And I remember driving home.
You did shit jokes?
No, they were just terrible jokes. Oh. They were like,
You did shit jokes?
Oh, speaking of shit, we'll
I
get
got
to that.
One for you.
But,
go ahead.
Oh, perfect. It will lead right into that. But I just remember the lonely ass feeling of driving home and being like, man, my jokes bombed. I had one part of this act I was supposed to do and I sucked.
Yep.
It was rough, dude, and I can only imagine like having a shitty night on stage alone as a stand-up. It's got to be heavy, but a great night has got to be like I'm a superhero. Yep. You know,
got a great story.
Yes.
Google this guy; he's fucking hilarious. His name is David Tyree, and he was there's two funny people in the world back then. There's Paul Mooney and it's David Tyree.
Okay.
Paul Mooney's the one we all know.
Yeah, yeah.
David Tyree is that other dude that was right there.
Right there.
Like just as funny as Paul. Mm-hmm. And I worked at the Comedy Store, right? And I was one of those comedians that was in class. We call it a Comedy Store, comedy college. So I used to do shit jokes. And I thought they were hilarious, right? And I'm up on stage, and this is what Dave Tyree said to me. So I did like 10 minutes of shit jokes. The typical.
Like gross like, shit.
They're going to love this.
Oh,
this is funny, right? You know? I'm doing it. The door, where you put on the door and the door doesn't work and you're taking the shit in the stall. Do all of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm killing them with the shit jokes. And that's Dave Tyree. Dave Tyree, he got this deep, thick voice.
Oh, I've seen this guy.
Dave Tyree is hilarious. Check out his stand-up. He is fucking hilarious.
This is cool. You're shining a spotlight on a lot of other people, too. You're a generous man.
Yeah, man. I love funny comics, man.
Yeah.
So Dave come to me at the show. He said, come here, man. Let me tell you something. Come here, young man. He smokes a cigar. He goes, now listen. Shit jokes are okay. Okay, one, cool. Two shit jokes, okay. Anything at the two is downright nasty.
That is funny.
Anything at the two is downright nasty.
You can
nasty.
See him say
that. Yeah, he's got a Sammy Davis vibe about him.
I'm just going to throw this out there that we're on the subject. So our first like few episodes we ever recorded of this show, our guests, for some reason, the show somehow led them into telling us stories about times that they shit their pants. And then from that, listeners started like
writing us in stories when they shit their pants. Oh. And now we've had a couple shows that were literally just kind of based on fan stories of them telling us that they shit their pants. You know,
basically half of our guests have told us that they've shit themselves. And so Duddy always asks everybody,
do you have a story you'd like to share about a time you shit your pants?
Damn. No, if I did. Yeah. I don't think I ever did, man.
That's okay.
I haven't in the same boat.
I have never shit my pants.
I got to be honest. If I did, I would tell you fuck.
Totally.
No, I believe you.
I believe you.
It's a post-diaper shit as well. It has to be post-diaper. Because everyone shit their diaper.
You sort
of like post-diaper shit. Duddy's never
done
it.
We're saying you start out your life shitting yourself and you end your life shitting yourself.
Right.
But we're talking that in-between zone.
We're talking about that time where you just like couldn't hold it and let it go when some shit happened.
It's amazing how many women have told
us. It's mostly chicks.
They're so excited to tell us that they've shit themselves when they come on our show. And
oh,
it was literally our first guest told us that he shit himself just in a random story about his life, and then our third guest liked that, so he's all, I want to tell you as well, and then it's been
it's
this
just
thing.
Snowballed. Like, I think it's been like, it was like a big brown snowball.
It was a big shitty ass snowball.
Kept rolling and rolling and rolling.
Well, that's all right, dude.
That's okay.
Hey, never. If one comes to you, you know what? You didn't. I
would tell you straight up. I'm a comic.
In the future,
I am the truth. Taylor, I will sit up there. I've said some shit on stage that comics will never say. I will tell you. One time I took a shit. Nah, I've never shit my pants.
That's okay. Because when I tell people I haven't shit my pants, they're always like, yeah, right.
No one's believes right. It's a beard or something. Right, like, yeah, right. You don't have a beard. You shit your pants, dude.
It's a new beard. I just got the beard.
What about a band camp
That's
story?
What I was going to say. Yeah. So we don't have a shit story, but do you have a band camp story?
Any type of anything weird story from the tour, the road,
A band camp story, like when we went on the road and some funny shit happened.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even necessarily have to be on the road. Just if you've got like a story you just remember from your past that's just super funny or inspirational or some crazy shit happened, just like anything.
Preferably funny and on the road.
I got one that's probably inspirational, not as funny, but inspirational. Which makes me love comedy. And then I was probably about 6-7 years in.
All right, let me do this drop.
Oh, and this one time at band camp.
All right, 6-7 years in.
6-7 years in. I'm feeling good about loving what I'm doing in comedy, and this happened to me and made me go, okay, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. Most jokes come from things that happen as you've seen happen, and then you add to it. So there's a joke that I got called Butt Naked Man. Butt Naked Man.
Butt Naked Man.
Then the story and the joke is, would you fight a butt naked man? Right? And that's what I would come up and ask the audience, and most audience would be, no, I would never fight a butt. And I said, yeah, me neither. But this story happened, and then I give you the bit, and I give you the backstory behind the bit.
Okay.
So I ask people, you ever fight a butt naked man? I pick a guy out. You ever fight a butt naked man? If I get that one guy to go, yeah, and I go, nah, fuck that. He got to put some pants on first.
Yeah.
How you going to fight a butt naked man? He get you in a headlock. Then what you going to do? If this dick hit you in the face, he going to tell everybody.
Yep.
Nah, you got to kill this motherfucker after that. Right? So I'm not fighting a butt naked man, blah, blah, blah. So I go through this whole thing. But the story came from when I was in South Carolina. I would always do this club in South Carolina, and I would go get my haircut at the same barbershop. I'm sitting in a chair, like most people in the barbershop do not know I'm a comedian. I had filmed a couple of television shows, so most people recognize me from a show, a show called Comic View back in the days, or the Spanish show called Que Locos. People would say, oh, I know that guy, he's from the show. So I'm sitting in the barbershop, and as a brother comes in, he's sitting in the chair, he's getting his haircut, and a woman comes in. And when I tell you, she's throwing all of his clothes in the middle of the fucking barbershop. And she took a loogie from the depths of her throat and spit it in his face. And this dude was sitting there getting his hair cut. He didn't say shit, took it and wiped it off his face and didn't address anything. So everybody in the barbershop is completely fucking silent. And I'm going, well, I'm going to fucking ask.
What happened?
What the hell happened?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, she just mad because I'm leaving. I caught her in my house with a butt naked ass man. And whoop, right? He's like, I didn't, whoop means, ladies and gentlemen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he goes, I'm not fucking with her. I'm done. And she's just mad because she can't get a rise out of me. Right? And I know I'm done. Right? And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you fight him? He's like, fuck no. I was like, oh my God, I got a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there, I do the thing, and I'm having an audience crying. So I'm doing a bit, actually is developing itself in the barbershop. I'm saying, what if this happened and this happened and people in the bar, I just take off. I do like 10 minutes in the barbershop. He's laughing, people in the barbershop is laughing, but there's a guy in the corner, he has a laugh that's above everybody else. Like, oh! So we call that a release laugh. This is somebody that's going through some trauma, and it's a release laugh.
Oh, he's got to get it out.
Right. My barber knows I'm a comedian because I call him every time. So I'm doing my joke. I'm getting my hair cut. I'm coming up with shit, and people are fucking dying. So I know I got a bit. So I walk out the barbershop, and I'm on my way to the car. And that guy that had the release laugh comes out. He goes, hey, man. Hey, bro, I heard you was a comedian. I was like, yeah. He said, what are you going to be performing? I told him, I'm going to be performing. He's like, man, I just want to thank you, man. I was like, for what? He's like, man, for making me laugh. I haven't been able to laugh in a week. And apparently in South Carolina, there's a burn center there. Right? And this shit makes me then it feels bad, sad every time I think of it. There's a burn center there. And he goes, I've been there with my son all week, man. Kid set my son on fire and burned my son from head to toe. He has third-degree burns all over his body, man. And he's like, I just want to thank you, man. I hadn't been able to release, you know, and you just took me away from that, even if it's for a minute. And he said, I just want to tell you, that's a beautiful thing you got. It's a beautiful gift you got. Keep doing it.
Yep.
No matter how long it takes, man, I'm telling you, you got it. If you can do that for me, I know you have it. And I just wanted to share that with you and tell you how funny you are, blah, 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 blah. I'm fucking in tears, man.
Yeah.
Like, well, man, thank you, you know, blah, blah, blah. What do you say to something like
that? Yeah, it's...
But, you know, afterwards, you know, on the plane, I do the show tonight, and I'm on fire. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest.
Yeah.
It's because you never know who's in the audience.
Yep.
That's going through that. Or you hear that release laugh is what I call it. They release and let go of their fucking problems. So people that think we're just up there being buffoonish and stupid and whatever you might want to think of a comic, but there's some people out there that's going through some stuff and need to laugh at that moment. So share that with you.
No, that's a great story, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, best way to end.
Yeah, and we talk about that a lot on here too. Just like, you know, one of the best compliments we get is, oh, fuck, man, I love your music. It's always someone that like hits you up like, man, I gotta tell you, I was going through a rough time.
Right.
And this song, you know, and this lyric really got me through it, and I just really appreciate, you know, what you did. And you're like, fuck, man. Right. That shit makes you feel really good. And it makes you feel like you're doing it for the right reasons.
Right. That's the connection I'm talking about. Yeah. That's the creative door that all creative artists have.
Totally.
We have the ability. I mean, it's like a spinning door in your head. You don't know where that creativity is going to come from. Then it stops. You see it. You grab it. You put the work into it.
Yep.
This has come from another place other than me. But let me get into this. Let me find out why am I doing this? Why do I have this piece?
Yep.
Let me do something with this song. What inspired me to write this song? Well, something I went through. You know.
Yep.
There's a joke that I'm doing and I love. It's my wife doesn't like the joke, but I love the joke. And this joke is called "Let the Men Teach the Boys." Let the men teach the boys. And most married men love the joke. Most women, they think about it, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to fucking think.
Yeah.
Because that's what the joke inspired, and I didn't know what to do with it. And then I'll close on this. It was like my son is 6'2", right? And my wife comes home one day and she goes, the mother and my mother-in-law and my wife, they're not bonded like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother-in-law told my wife that she didn't want to come over to the house a lot because she didn't like the way that I talked to my kids. Now, mind you, I'm raised in a black family. I'm raised by a single black woman, and my mama said some shit.
Yeah.
She said whatever was on her mind. She didn't pull no fucking punches, you know? So I talked to my kids a certain way, right? And she didn't like the way specifically how I talked to my son. Mm-hmm. I talked to my son like a man's supposed to talk to another man. I'm not going to fucking bullshit him. I'm going to tell him when I tell him to do something, I fucking mean it.
Not sugarcoating
it. It pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I'm so pissed off about what my wife had just said to me. And then about a week later, I'm giving my son the business in the room. Right? I close the door. I don't want the other kids to see me giving him the business about things that he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him the business because I'm coming home drunk or shit like that. No. Yeah. I'm coming home giving the business his responsibilities that he's supposed to do around the house and at school, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You're preparing him for the real world.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm in there giving him the business. My wife is listening at the fucking door. Mm. I come out and she's startled. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Well, I'm just trying to make sure you don't hurt him. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. As an artist at that time, as a man, I was so angry at my wife because now I'm double pissed because I don't need you to monitor me raising my kids.
Yeah.
You know, this is my God-given right to do this however I want. If I fuck it up, so be it. Mm. So I wrote this joke and it kept bothering me. And when I was on stage, so I wrote the joke. It's called Let the Men Teach the Boys. And bro, when I got, it took me about a year to perfect the joke.
Yeah.
And it's about how, you know, I guess I gotta let you see it. It's fucking hilarious. So when I do the joke, right, and I do it in front of an audience, I was getting standing ovations. I get men, people coming to me. My wife now don't know I'm developing this joke off of her and her mother, some shit her and her mother said. I got to do the joke in Denver, Colorado, room full of people, and I call what I do. I call women on some of their bullshit. Hey, ladies, listen. Some of you may not like this joke, but that's okay. If you don't like this joke, fine. Then you the woman I'm talking to.
Yeah.
My wife and my mother-in-law is in the audience. I go, you the woman I'm talking to. Right? This joke is called Let the Men Teach the Boys. Some shit that my wife said to me that kind of pissed me off the other day. My wife going to walk up to me and she tell me, I don't like the way you talking to him. And then I point to my son, which is like 6'2". I'm like, this motherfucker right here? This tall son of a bitch right here?
Yeah.
Ladies, we talk to our sons what is called a command voice. A command voice. That bass you hear in our voice is called a command voice. All right? God gave us this voice to be able to do what? Lead other men. He didn't give it to you. He gave it to men. You hear that bass? He gave it to men. Just like he gave us the Ten Commandments, okay? He didn't give women the Ten Commandments. He gave it to men. If he gave y'all the Ten Commandments, he'll still be arguing with your ass right now today over the Ten Commandments. Why it gotta be ten? I go to the man. I get into that shit.
Oh, wife and the host.
That's right, bro. And at the end, I said, man, it's a beautiful piece. Trust me. Yeah. And then you get people.
Oh yeah.
Man, they looked at my mom.
Oh my God.
They didn't know what to do with the look. And I know my wife couldn't wait to talk to me about the fucking joke.
Oh my God.
But the response. And her to sit there and stand there and watch one person after another person. Oh my God. All right, well, you know what? Me and my husband, we were just talking about that. Are we going through that in my household? And my son, and the man was like, dudes be like, bro, chill, bro.
Oh my God. And that, you created so many awkward drive homes.
Oh my God.
Those shows, because the guys are like, yeah, the yes, drive home.
Yes.
So you thought he was pretty funny, huh? You really liked that.
I saw
one.
You clapping there.
Right, right. Hey.
Why did you stand?
One guy, man.
I saw you throw $100 on the stage.
Yeah, why did you do that at that certain point?
I'm in Indiana. I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana, doing a bit, man. And it's I could see it. I think a woman went to the bathroom. His wife went to the bathroom or something. I could see him kept getting up and looking down while I'm doing the joke. He's laughing, trying to wait for her to come back. He's laughing and looking. After the show, man, he comes. He said, man, she missed the joke, man.
Will you tell it to her again right
That's
now?
That's a lucky guy.
I need you to tell that joke again right now for her.
Yeah. He goes, she missed it, man. I was trying to tell her all of that, man.
That's good. Dude, there's definitely been times where I've been watching a stand-up act, you know, at home or wherever, and just been going, I wish my wife was just saying this shit right now.
His lady comes out of the bathroom. Why was everyone laughing so hard when I was in the...
What was that about?
The joke? What was the last joke?
She missed
joke?
It, man. She missed what you said, man.
Was he making fun of me? What happened when
so
I...
That's so good. Right.
Man. It's a beautiful bit,
that
man.
That is good. And that's how, you know, that's how you know it was a good act. If you're on your way home and it's a little awkward, you're like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's
good
it's shit.
It's point of view, man. It's called point of view. It's no diss to women. It's just try to get an understanding of we do things a certain way and for a certain reason.
Totally.
And you may not understand that reason, but it's just a man's reason. And even in the middle of the joke, I let women know, hey, listen... There's things in my relationship that I don't understand when it comes to womanhood. There's things about my daughter that's happening that I couldn't really relate to or understand. That's only you can make that connection, not me,
totally.
Right? And if there's things that I don't understand, I shut the fuck up and I stay in my lane.
Yep.
Right? But I do know certain things that, like that time, part of the joke is, like, fellas, if we know if we're raising our, we had to raise our daughters by ourselves. There's some things that we don't understand. Like that time of the month, we wouldn't know what the fuck to do. We'd drop their ass off at the hospital. Somebody shot her. Some ketchup. Somebody cork it. I don't know. Do something.
Like, she's been stabbed.
Yeah. It's like you know, my daughter's getting around that age.
Right.
So, you know, every time she's taking a shower and I hear, "Mom, come here." I'm like, "Oh, no." Oh, no. You know, like, what would I do if that was, she wasn't there and it was like, "Dad, come here." I'd be like, "No, I don't want to.
No, baby, no. I can't, boo. Can't do it. There's not." My daughter used to take breath for me up to 8 years old, man. I'm like, "Listen.
Yeah.
You cannot get in here anymore.
No.
Why not? No. Yeah. Get out of here. Nope.
Get
out of here.
Get.
Nope. Nope, sir. You can't be getting in this tub with me. I'm sorry. Not doing that anymore. You're not daddy's baby girl. You're getting up in that age. Get up out of here.
Yeah, get out.
Yep.
Well, I think that's good. What's up? You got anything else? You got anything coming up? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah,
plug away.
Man. Be at the Brea Improv, man. Brea Improv with Tommy Davidson nice. Next weekend. So that's going to be awesome. And then also, I have a show that I'm headlining, which is November 15th at the Morongo Casino Big Boys Funny Mofo.
Nice, very
yes,
nice.
Yes, yes. What I'm going to do for you guys, anybody want to come to the Big Boys Funny Mofo, since I'm producing that show, I'll definitely hook up any of your fans. You guys let me know. I'm going to try to do like a party bus thing.
Okay.
And then let you guys know where a designated party bus is. You ever pay whatever the guys is charging for that.
Okay.
You just pay that and make sure that, you know, that we'll figure out a way to get them on the bus and get you guys some tickets.
We'll put
you
some
can find
sort of
Eric Blake on Instagram. Yep. We're obviously going to put his links up below, but just hit him up. DM.
I hit you guys up and then let me know who you got and then we'll go from there.
Nice one.
That's free. It. Yeah, we'll start getting the list together. If you're listening to this, DM us online. I think maybe Instagram might be the easiest. DM us on there, and we'll also send out a blast about the show, when it is, where it's at, and that if you want to go, to DM us for all the info, and we'll get you guys linked up.
And you guys come to at least one of the Tommy shows, man.
Oh, dude, man. Tommy. We got
you. Yeah, let me know. I got him, bro.
I love him. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, dude, I got you guys.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you guys be my personal
dad. Would love to come. Our dad loves him.
Let me know, man. How many
for
you got?
The younger kids that don't know who he is, Ace Ventura 2.
Oh, my God. He's throwing spears, okay?
Oh, my God. Or in Living Color, if you don't know what
that's
that
where,
is.
That's
Duddy
where
and I, we were kids. We watched that.
Tommy will give you abs.
Oh, he will, man. He is a funny man.
Yes.
So check it out. Thanks again, Eric, for stopping by, man.
Thank you, man.
What a pleasure. Yeah, that's it. Thank you,
guys.
Peace out. Always, thank you to everyone over here at Reamp Studios. We appreciate it. And as always, CutlassBrand.com. Go there now and put in code FEELINGGOOD at checkout, and you will get 20% off. Peace.
Yay, yay.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.